sometimes we think we know, but in all honesty, we just don't know what we don't know.
You know that? Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. There are so many things out there that God sees, that God has sight on. He's envisioned it. He's already in our tomorrow. And he says, you know, you just ain't had enough yet. I need to put you through this or that. I need to get you through this or that. And I need you to learn along the way so that you're ready for your tomorrow. You see, today is here and yesterday is gone, but tomorrow you still have time to plan and prepare for. And there's things that are happening tomorrow that you just can't see clearly yet. There are things that you just don't know what you just don't know. Is that making sense? Are you following me so far? So here's the illustration boiled down to this. I'm ready. My heart, I think, is ready. My mind, I think, is ready. I have other support around me that think I'm ready, but God doesn't think I'm ready. And spiritually speaking, Christians, we put ourselves in that situation all the time where we think we're ready, but we're just not ready. Our Father always does things for a reason.
Amen.
We don't always see it. We don't always understand it. We don't always agree with it. But he does it with our best interest. And by the way, not just your best interest, the next person's best interest. God has things in such a way that it's not just personally about you, but it's personally about you and the person that it affects along the way. So when God orchestrated all this and he had a plan in place, he's got a purpose and a plan for each one of us. But at the same time, he's got others beside us that have a purpose and a plan for their life too. Are you following me? Are you with me so far? Now, it has his purpose. Our Father always has the best plan in mind. So look at verse 3. We're going to get into this here in just a second. In verse 3, the officers gave the instructions. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. The plan was this. When you see the ark, follow it. Plain and simple. But they had 3 days of waiting to get there. They knew it was going to happen. They knew it was coming, but they had 3 days wait to get there. You with me? Follow me? Okay. Oftentimes in planning for our tomorrow, we leave out the obvious. We forsake the simple. The plan was this. Wait 3 days. When you see the ark move, go. Pretty simple, right? Don't forsake the simple in your life. If you know it's right to go to church, go to church. If you know it's right to read the scripture, read the scripture. If you know it's right to pray, pray. If you know it's right to follow God and obey principles, then obey and follow principles. Does that make sense? Obey the simple. Follow the simple. Oftentimes we look for a more comfortable position rather than correct position. You follow me? Oftentimes, as a Christian, we look for the more comfortable position rather than the correct position. So I could see these folks sitting on the banks of Jordan. I could see them sitting on the banks of Jordan and saying, well, I'm not too comfortable here. But then after about 3 days, maybe they found a cozy little place in which to sit. Maybe they found a way in which to stay comfortable. But now the ark starts to move and they say, guess I gotta go. But again, they had a choice on whether or not to go. But Christians, oftentimes, we forsake right for comfort. I put a point here. Keep being a Christian simple by following your Father. Keep being a Christian simple by following your Father. Follow your Father. Follow him. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit guide you and follow him to where you belong. You may know it all. You may have it all wrapped up in your mind. You may have it all figured out. And sometimes maybe you don't. And sometimes we start to get a little anxious. We start to get a little ahead of ourselves. Again, like I said in Sunday school, we get ahead of our skis a little bit. We start to lean too far forward when sometimes we just simply have to watch and follow. Sometimes we just have to watch and follow. Then look at verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Notice in verse 4, not only does the Lord want you to follow, he wants you to follow right. Are you paying attention to that? Not only does God command us to follow, he commands us to follow right. Did you know that you could follow wrong? You can follow wrong. You can be following in your feet, but not following in your heart. You could do the opposite. You could follow in your heart, but fail to follow with your feet. Oh, I'd like to. Oh, I really want to, but I'm just not going to. So follow right. Look at verse 4. There was a certain specific way in which they were to follow. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. What is Joshua and the officer saying here in Joshua chapter 1 or Joshua chapter 3? He said, follow, but follow specifically. Why? Because you've never been here before. Follow me as I go. Does that make sense? Hey, if I'm going into my Canaan land, if I'm going into my victorious place, if I'm going into my spiritual victory, I've not been there before. I've heard the directions on how to get there. I've read the articles in the magazines on how to achieve it and how to accomplish it. And I've seen the roadmaps laid out for other people, but I have not been there before. So in order for me to get there, the officer said, follow me in the way in which I've laid out. Go directly the route in which I've given you. God always is specific. Always. But it's oftentimes that we say, no. Or we say, well, what about this? Hey, God, what if I made a left here instead of a right? Well, that's following, but that's not following right. Does that make sense? You can follow and not follow right. So, then we go on to verse 5. I put here, God always has order. God often has direct order. He doesn't leave too many gray areas. Oftentimes, God is very exact. Okay, what's one example of God being exact? I will tell you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 20 that we are bought with a price. And once we get saved, we are no longer of ourselves. We are a part of him. So you are no longer in control of everything you do personally. You should let him be in control of what you do personally. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So just like in the Old Testament, when the Ark of the Covenant being so important, having the Holy of Holies, you have a Holy of Holies inside of you. And God gives us specificities throughout the Bible that teach us how to live as being that temple. He tells us not to defile that temple. This temple, which harbors the Holy Spirit of God, if I am a saved Christian, he has told me not to defile. He has told me not to ruin it intentionally. He has told me not to harm it. He has told me to be modest in its apparel. Amen. That's what he's told me as being a temple of the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. Are you following me? In the Bible, he lays out specifics on how to manage that temple. He tells me to dress right. He tells me not to harm my body by smoking and drinking and toking and doing all those things that harm my body. He tells me to be careful of the things in which I do because I'm now controlling the Holy Spirit and I am a temple for that Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So there are specifics all throughout the Bible that teach us what to do and what not to do, but we follow, but we don't follow rightly.
we dabble a little bit of this, we dabble a little bit of that, we take a little bit of this, and we take a little bit of that, but then we want the chocolate chip cookie to taste like it's supposed to taste, yet we fail to use the ingredients in which it calls for. We want it to all look right, we want it to all be right, we want it to all taste right, but we fail to do the things necessary for it to be right. Does that make sense? It's that credit card mentality. It's that microwave mentality. Well, if I could just take a credit card out of my wallet, whether I have the money or not, I mean, Bank of America has it, or Capital One has it, or BB&T has it, and if they have it, I can simply just swipe my credit card even though I don't have it so that I can have it. Does that make sense? And then we say, well, we'll just pay for it later. And then you end up in debt. And then sometimes you end up in years of debt. And sometimes you end up in decades of debt because you just wanted it now. I'll tell you this. My wife and I have a credit card. Years ago, we had three. I cut up all three of them. And then we finally got another one after years later, just in case. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? And if he wanted it to happen, it was going to happen whether or not you had a credit card for it or not.
Amen.
In all honesty, you truly don't need a credit card.
Amen.
Is it convenient? Sure. But is it yours? No. You're using somebody else's money. Anyway, that's another sermon for another time. I have a credit card. I can't remember the last time I used it. Doesn't mean I haven't used it. We've used it. I just can't remember the last time I used it. So anyway, God has specific order. We're going off. We're talking about God being specific. He has direct orders. Now we get to verse 5. Look at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua gives a very direct order from God. God's man leading God's people, giving God's instructions. He says, sanctify yourselves. What does sanctify mean? It means keep clean. It means prepare fully and wholly. It means be mindful of. Separate, consecrate, sanctify yourself because you're God's people. And then I can see the Christian saying, why? Why sanctify myself? Why clear myself up? Why clean myself up, God? What am I worried about? I don't have anybody to impress. God, I don't need to show off to you. God, I don't need to show off to the world. God, I don't need to be a testimony to my family or my friends. God, why sanctify myself? And God's so gracious as to give the answer. After he says, sanctify yourself, he gives the reason in which why you're to sanctify yourself. Look at verse 5. Sanctify yourselves. Why? He said, because I need you ready to cross that Jordan into your victory tomorrow. Look at it there in verse 5. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Boy, what a promise. What a promise. They said, look, I know it's been a rough 40 years. Look, I know it's been a hard time coming, and I know things haven't worked out exactly just right. And I know there have been some heartaches along the way. And he said, I know that it's been a rough 3 days as we've been camping out here by the banks of Jordan. I understand all that. But hey, get ready. Sanctify yourself. Prepare yourself spiritually. Because tomorrow, there's some things happening that you're going to enjoy. Tomorrow, there's some things going to take place that I need you to be ready for. And even though you think you're ready today, and even though you think you're ready tomorrow, and even though you think you've got it all figured out, I'll tell you what, tomorrow's even better than today. Are you following? Sanctify yourselves. God always wants us to live an abounding life. The problem is that we often battle God on that abundance. God always wants your life to abound. He came for that reason. But it's often us who wants our vision of abundance rather than his vision of abundance. And so then we take the immediate, sacrificing the good for the great. We want it now.
We want it our way. We want it Burger King way, right? Your way right away. I want the Whopper. I don't want the onions. I don't want the lettuce. I don't want the tomato. I don't want the ketchup. I don't want the mustard. I don't want any of that stuff. I just want my version of the Whopper. I don't want Burger King's version of the Whopper. And that's okay if it's fast food, but not if you're trying to get the victory of the Lord. See, when God plans it and prepares it, you eat it the way God planned it and prepared it, because he had your best interest in mind.
So God always wants to live on, wants us to live an abounding life. The problem is we often battle God on that abundance. God has wonders for us tomorrow, but we're too distracted by our personal preferences today.
You see, Christians oftentimes fail to live for tomorrow. Well, I just go from day to day. You know, I just kind of live today, and that's okay for a time. But what you fail to realize is that he has a tomorrow for you that you should be preparing for today. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you think that you're going to glory soon. That's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 500. That's not the point. The point is God has a tomorrow for you. And your job is to prepare and sanctify yourself today for that tomorrow. You don't know what your tomorrow holds. All the more reason you ought to prepare for it today. You ought to prepare for it spiritually. You ought to prepare for it mentally. You ought to prepare for it physically, because you just don't know what God has in store for you.
Amen.
And it's our job to sanctify ourselves to prepare for that tomorrow. And all the promise of saying, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among you. I'm going to do things that you can't see, that you haven't heard of, that you've never even dreamt of. And you have some spiritual victories coming that no man can prepare for, but sanctify yourself the best you can. Because tomorrow, there's some wonders coming among you.
They were camping out 3 days. They just wanted to get there. They didn't want to be so specific, but God had specific plans. Quickly, I'm going to give you 3 ways to prepare for your tomorrow. Your tomorrow.
There's wonders for you tomorrow. There's spiritual victories better than anything you could ever dream of, in a better place in which you could ever dream of, with more money in your pocket than you could ever fathom, with better health than you could ever dream of. All these things are prepared for you, but you have to prepare yourself for your tomorrow.
So I'm going to give you 3 ways to do that. Number one, we're going to follow the instruction that was given in verse 5. Sanctify yourself.
Realize that you are a child of God. How do you get your wonders tomorrow? How do you end up in a better place spiritually? How do you get to that victory in which God wants you to have? Realize you live as a child of God. You're not a child of the devil anymore. So don't live that way. If you are a child of God, live like you're a child of God. We often live our lives as children of the devil, refusing to sanctify ourselves. Then we have the gall to ask God why he's not giving us what we want. And God says, because you're not living for me, you're living for you. And because you're not living for me, you're living for the devil. So why would I bless you when you choose not to live for me? Why am I going to put you in a spiritual victory, so to speak, when you can't even make simple decisions to live for me? You can't read my word. You can't bow and pray. You can't be the church when you're supposed to be there. You often forsake it. You often think that other things are better for you in those time frames. And you give yourself permission to remove yourself from me. Why do I answer you?
Amen.
We need to sanctify ourselves. We need to prepare our spirits. We need to prepare ourselves for the victories in which God has for us. It's not that God doesn't want us to have them. It's not that God's trying to put us in misery. It's not that God's trying to keep us from blessings. He's trying to put us in the blessings. He's trying to get us to the blessings. But we get in the way.
Amen.
And we get comfortable. And we get lazy. And we get spiritually, non-spiritually minded. We are so religious and we are so spiritual that we can't even see God. We're too worried about the ordinances. We're too worried about the specifics of do this just right and do that just right and be this just place and that just place. And you don't even pray. You don't even bow for a personal time with your Father in heaven.
You wait to do it on Sunday. And you can't do it on Monday. And you forget to do it on Tuesday. And then you don't have time for it on Wednesday. I know, because the church house is empty on Wednesday night. You guys don't love God on Wednesday. You only love him on Sunday. So I just appreciate God for my Sundays. I don't appreciate him on my Wednesdays. And God says, okay, fine. Enjoy the life in which you've made. Enjoy the meal in which you've prepared and eat that meal. But don't ask me for toppings on your meal. Because I had them for you, you just refused to take them.
Amen.
Sanctify yourself for tomorrow. We then have the gall to judge God when he chooses not to answer. God wants you to be sanctified, much like he wants a bride to be sanctified for the groom. And vice versa. The groom to be sanctified for the bride. Sanctified, separated, prepared. Because we've got great things coming. We've got great things coming. God has great things in mind for you. Secondly, how do I prepare myself for tomorrow? First of all, we'll sanctify myself. Second of all, situate yourself. Do right today so that you can be in the best position tomorrow. Do right today so that you can be in the best position tomorrow. One of the things that I love most in life, I'm an analytical kind of a guy, and I've learned to be better at this, and I guess God's given me the mind for it. But in every situation I'm in, I'm always trying to analyze how it could be better, how I can get the logistics of it better, and how I can make it faster. And Camden's kind of got a little bit of that for me, and often too far. He goes a little above and beyond sometimes. He goes a little extreme on how to get things done. Sometimes it's just best to keep it simple. But anyway, that's not the illustration. But one of my favorite things to do is take the right people and put them in the right place to do the right thing. I love doing it. My example is this. One of the years in college, I played intramural softball. Intramural is just amongst your college. You didn't go out as far. It wasn't a whole lot of competition, so don't get your hopes up. It wasn't that we were anything great. But we had a team, and we got to pick our team, and I really didn't know anybody. I just kind of picked people who I was fairly familiar with, and there were some tryouts, and you had to gauge just off of some basics on whether or not this person was any good. Well, we had game number one after about two practices. Game number one, we got slaughtered. When I say slaughtered, I think the ending score was like 13-1. We got whooped. It was horrible. I obviously didn't have the right people in the right place doing the right thing. Because I started to analyze a little bit. I started to put it all together. And I said, you know what? This person would probably be better in that position. This person would definitely be better in this position. And this person could play here. And this person could play there. And if I put my bat in order just right in this way, shape, or form, and this would work out. Yeah, this, you know, and I do some number crunch and I look at it this way. I say, yeah, this is probably the best that it would work out here. Let's do this. We didn't lose another game. All year, didn't lose another game. We ended up the same score that we lost 13-1. Our record ended up 13-1. We lost the first game. We got our hineys kicked. And then we won 13 in a row. We made it all the way to the championship game. Now, we did lose the championship game. But we made it to the championship game based off of, I knew we weren't very good. I knew the team in which we had wasn't very strong. But the right people in the right place doing the right thing make the difference, right? Same thing in life. The right people in the right place doing the right thing make the difference. Positioning in life is important. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. When it's time to go to work, guess where you should be? Work. When it's time to do the chores around the house, guess where you should be? Doing the chores around the house. When it's time to fix something, guess what you should be doing? Fixing it. When it's time to read your Bible, guess what you ought to be doing? Reading your Bible. How do I get to my tomorrow? How do I get the wonders that God has for me? How do I get the victories in which God has laid out for me? Put yourself in the position to be ready for it. Position yourself, situate yourself to be ready for it. So the first two are this: sanctify yourself, prepare yourself. Next, situate yourself, put yourself in the right position. Third thing is this, and I'm done. Supply yourself. Have the right equipment. Have the right equipment. Brother Rich and I were doing some yard work yesterday. Praise God. He knew it would come up. Hey, I just didn't make the whole sermon about him. Brother Rich was nice enough to help me out and my family out by doing a bunch of work at the house yesterday. We were there for over 8 hours doing work, nonstop. We stopped for a hot dog. That was about it. We took a little break to the hardware store because we needed something. And we got a hot dog while we were there. Other than that, we were working the whole time. He was sitting down on the job all day, but I was standing up. My back was hurting by the end of it all. But the point is this. We were using a dull chainsaw. And it wasn't his fault that we were using a dull chainsaw. It was my fault because I didn't tell him to prepare for the chainsaw. I was supposed to go buy a chainsaw, and I had not bought a chainsaw. So he came with what he had, but he wasn't prepared because he didn't know he was supposed to be prepared because somebody failed to tell him to be prepared for it because that wasn't the plan. Are you following me? So we tried to go off course of the plan a little bit, and we tried to use what we had. And that chainsaw was just burning wood. Brrr, smoking, because the chain was dull. It was dull. We weren't fully supplied for the task at hand. So Brother Richie said, Pastor, what do you think? What would you think if I just go to the hardware store and buy a chain? And I said, Brother Rich, I don't want you wasting money on a chain. You've already got chains at the house. I don't want you spending more money on a chain in which you already have chains. I don't want you buying an extra chain. You already have them. It's not your fault that you're not prepared. It's my fault. I said, so I don't want you going out of your way. I don't want you spending any extra money when I was the one that didn't prepare you for it. He said, basically, I'm paraphrasing. He said, shut up and let's go to the hardware store. Let's just go to the hardware store and get us a chain. Okay, I said, I'll do you one better. We'll get you a chain and I'll go ahead and buy me a chainsaw. So now we had two chainsaws raring to go. Worrying my wife to death. Seeing us. My kids were all worried. They thought for sure we were going to a hospital. But what happened when we had the right tool? Man, we flew through those branches. I mean, you put that chainsaw to that branch, it was cutting butter. Because we had the right tool for the job. We were trying real hard. We had that. We got that thing stuck probably 3 or 4 times before we finally decided to go to the hardware store and get a chain for it. Because we just move the branch this way, Rich. We'll try to get it out. Hey, Rich, pull the branch that way. It's stuck. No, it's stuck pretty good. It's probably not going to come out right here. I got to move this little. I tell you what. What if we just tie the Kubota up to it? We'll probably get it off of there. Well, they're not going to have to catch the chainsaw before fall. All because we just weren't properly prepared. Had we been properly prepared and supplied for the job, it would have been a whole lot smoother and been done a whole lot sooner. Right? It would have been smoother and sooner. But it wasn't because we weren't prepared. He was prepared. I wasn't prepared. So, sanctify yourself for your tomorrow. Situate yourself for your tomorrow. And then supply yourself for your tomorrow. That's how you get the wonders of the Lord. How do you get to see God move in your life? Sanctify yourself. Situate yourself. Supply yourself. It's pretty simple. But we often make it difficult. But it's pretty simple. So ask yourself this. Are you sanctified in the Lord? Is your spirit ready to be blessed? Next, are you in the right position doing the right thing when you know to do it? And third, have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? Is the relationship between you and God more than just Sunday morning? If not, you need to supply yourself. You can't be blessed without sanctifying, situating, and supplying. Be ready for your tomorrow by doing those three things. Shall we all stand? Let's stand together. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I just ask for you to take a minute between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord.